Ready?
Mm.
Yep. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay, should we go for it?
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Three, two, one.
Mm, yeah. That sounds delicious. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers, Kylie.
Cheers. Alrighty. Welcome or welcome back to Peter Pints, the podcast dedicated to learning you everything you need to know about home improvement, straight from the mouths of one of Toronto's most desirable contractors.
I swear we're going to get there today.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk construction.
We're going to talk about it. I'm Kyle. I'm one of your hosts here. I head up marketing, and I'm joined by my loyal cohorts, Jay Imbrogno, who's the VP of sales and also our chief golf officer.
Don't forget it.
And
he golfs a lot.
Dave Imbrogno, who heads up ops, and our loyal chief commander. So welcome back, I guess.
Yeah,
welcome. All three of us. And not to forget Zach Holder and Nick Antwi, who we have off camera. And as always, they're helping us with production, so we appreciate that very much, because
got to make sure we sound good and look
good. So video still working on, hopefully this one turns out a little bit better, but I think audio has always been pretty sharp thanks to these guys. So
there was a very quick learning curve with the audio, but the you know,
the video,
the visual part,
so we appreciate it. But yeah, episode three, so the first two we got out of the way, and you know, third one, I think we're looking to get a little bit more technical on this one. And but I think this is starting to feel real. This is our third Friday.
Yeah.
Third one in a row.
But anyhow, so now that we got a sip of beer in us, Jay, why don't you tell us about what we're drinking here today?
Yeah, so today we have what, and we touched on this a little bit last week, but we got some Mill Street Organic, thanks to my buddy Garrett over at Mill Street. I guess he heard our podcast and was like, you know what, boys, I got you covered. So got you some, I mean, not anything special, but it is a Mill Street Organic, which is a great everyday beer. I love Mill Street Organic. When we go to the bars, we drink it all the time. So what do you guys think?
I think it's clean, little floral, like very, very smooth tasting notes, right? Yeah. It's just something you could go all day on. And at 4.2%, you know, it's not going
to
beat you
up. You can have a few and not want to take a nap immediately after.
Exactly. So they're actually great for the golf course, I find. I think they're a great golf course beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to relate it.
Yeah.
And a nice can. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Coors Banquet can, but maybe that's more a nod to Mill Street than it is to Coors Banquet, because that would have come after the fact.
But I think so. The whole banquet thing.
It looks kind of, you know, vintagey in a way, and I think it's nice.
Yeah, you know what a lot of people don't really or a lot of people overlook is the fact that it actually is organic beer, and not just Mill Street Organic is an organic beer. Like, a lot of their beers are organic, or most of them, or if not all of them. But maybe we can get Garrett in here to talk about it. It's got the sticker, right?
Anyhow, great beer. I think he mentioned that we might get some other fun ones in the mix, but this is what we're starting with, and free beers. So
I mean, start off with the OG, right? The the beer that made Mill Street what Mill Street is, which is great. It's a delicious beer, and I go to the pub quite often, actually, in Toronto, the brew pub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right, and on Mill Street.
Oh, in the distillery.
Yeah.
I have been there.
Yeah, it's great. Went there for my 30th birthday. Actually, it was a good time.
Excuse.
Anyhow, all right. Well, we got that out of the way. Why don't we go ahead and talk about our week? I think this one, maybe, you know, not everyone is waiting for, because I don't know how many people chime in. I hope people take something from this, but we did mention in the last one that we wanted to get a little bit more technical. So why don't we talk about our week? Because I think we had a pretty productive week, majorly working on. I'll let you take it from here.
But yeah, so this week we tackled large format tile for the first time, which was pretty cool. I know on Instagram you had posted the sheets, the they're 5 feet by 10 feet, so quite large, and we had never really done anything like that before, and we were going to bring in a specialist to tackle these, and decided, you know, if somebody else can do it, we can do it.
We went out,
picked up the equipment necessary to be able to handle something like that, practiced on the smaller format tiles that we had kicking around, And it's a little different, right? It's a scary process when you're working with something that, you know, it's a giant sheet and it's, you know, $1,500, $2,000 for the one piece. And if you break it, it's done.
Right? Well, that was the thing. Yeah, that was what scared me the most. It was when, like, we didn't get this part on camera because it was all hands on deck trying to do it. But when we were transferring the sheet of tile from its side onto our backs, essentially, to stand it up inside of a shower. I mean, that's when it really scared me. That's when it was like, is this thing going to snap?
Well, like, the other thing, too, like, part of the equipment that is available is a handling system. It's $2,400. And it's four suction cups attached to, you know, an aluminum grid, essentially.
To give it strength, yeah.
Yeah, so it takes the flex out of it, and it's probably so that two guys can move it comfortably and, you know.
Well, that's the thing. The tile isn't actually that heavy,
right? No, it's light. Yeah, you're right.
It's thin, though.
I mean, half inch, we're going up like a semi-spiral staircase.
Not even half inch. That's quarter-inch material. Yeah, so, typical tile is 3/8. And this is thinner than that, but that's the one thing. Like, you think that porcelain tile would snap very easily. It doesn't. It's flexible. It does bend. And so that's why it's so resilient and great. It's a great material option versus, you know, a natural stone
or a marble
like this yeah. this is quartzite, which everybody copies, like Cambria, like all the big guys. They do make a great option because it's man-made. They have glues and epoxies inside of it that makes it more resilient, where this is real deal. This was carved out of a mountainside, and this is very hard, and as a result, it doesn't bend. It doesn't. So, going back to the porcelain, it does have that forgiveness to it, right? You guys saw how much that sheet flexed.
Well, when that was delivered and Don took it off the truck and we were turning to like kind of lean it up against the bin to grab the second one, and I saw the bend in it. I was like, whoa, bro, like that's relaxed.
Good thing we didn't take delivery of that today, because the wind would have set sail. You and Don, we never see you again.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, though.
You would have been long gone. Yeah. But, I mean, the benefits of working with a synthetic, right? Like, marble, there would be I don't think anyone would be even silly enough to make a tile like that.
You
marble,
could never get it that thin, right?
Yeah. It would just flake, right?
Well, the problem with marble, marble can be thick. It can be quarter inch, half inch, whatever. You got to remember, marble is the softest of the stones out there.
Yeah.
And one vein, you know, you sneeze on that piece of tile, that thing will break. You know what I mean? It's insane.
We've worked with that where it's literally flaked away.
Yeah.
If your blade is...
And imagine trying to do a giant sheet. It's not practical. Yeah. You can do it, but if you're going to scale up the overall dimensions of it, you need to also scale up the thickness of the material, or there's no chance of it maintaining its integrity. So I don't know. It's a great option, obviously. Porcelain tile, it's, you know, we have a bunch sitting right there in Porcelainosa, and like, that is high quality material. This particular product, like Porcelainosa, is from Spain. The stuff we put in was from Ciot, and that was...
Sorry, Siri thinks you're talking to her.
Well, take it easy, Siri.
Sorry, Siri.
It's not all about you.
this material was from Italy, and like, just super premium. But, you know, when we had to do the one long cut down the side, we had to take an inch and a half off of the one side. And I know it's kind of weird. I kind of feel weird. We're in Canada and we're talking in inches, but that's how we were taught in construction.
Well, I mean,
right, we grew up using metric, but then you got onto the construction site.
Well, the metric's more precise than the
imperial. Would you equate that to like the international system, opposed to, whereas, like, you know, most nations kind of learn English as a second language, whereas like inches, that's like the international form of measurement in a way.
Well, because actually, it's not.
Because I didn't come from this world or have a background in construction, but I learned off inches as well, right? So someone taught my father that. And,
So when you're designing, typically, like, because I studied architecture, so typically when you're designing in imperial. Sorry, you're designing in metric. So you're talking about a 2x4. Isn't a 2x4 inch piece of wood. It's a, I forget what it was, like 150 mils by, you know,
yeah,
whatever it was. And it's like, what the heck is that for me going into architecture and learning the difference between imperial and metric? It was mind-blowing to me. Yeah. But once I got the hang of it...
Because I know Rapinia, all the drawings are in imperial, right?
Yeah, so yeah. We have to request them to be...
Yeah, and then we're trying to do the math.
Yeah.
And,
but the thing is imperial is more precise than metric is. And I mean, metric... So? Yeah, well, yeah, it is.
I think the...
Metric is just increments of 10, right?
Yeah, but those are smaller increments generally. Anyway, I don't know how is
a 32 more? A 32nd is thinner than a tenth of anything, right?
No, I don't think so.
See, senor.
I think a tenth is much smaller than a 32nd. But anyway.
You're smaller than a 32nd.
Yeah. I guess so. Anyway.
Yeah, so we got the
tile. Going back to the tile.
We got the tile up.
It's such an odd system. You assemble a track that sits on top of the tile, and then all you do, you score the top of the tile with this wheel and bearing system that floats across, and maybe we'll throw a picture of that up.
Yeah.
Or a video or something.
We can do a post about this, because I'd like to get that bathroom up. I mean, it's a little bit away from completion, but we're almost there.
Well, yeah. We got another sheet to go, too.
So maybe we could throw some after images up and then reference this blog and vice versa.
But, yeah, we'll do that. But yeah, so you just score the top of the tile, and then they give you this little handle, and it just it's a flat surface across the top with a couple rubber bumpers underneath, and the outside there's four bumpers, and the two outside bumpers are lower than the middle ones, and underneath all of that there's a handle, and you squeeze and it pops up. And applies pressure from underneath.
Yeah.
And to do the 10-foot length, you apply the pressure, you crack one side a little bit. There's no way it's going to run across the whole 8 or 10-foot length. Go around to the other side, crack it off there, and then you can get the handle, you know, perpendicular to the sheet, to the crack line, and you start to... Yeah, you can get the leverage in there and safely and slowly crack the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when we were trying to cut off the two foot section, taking it from 10 feet down to 8 feet, how many times did I go back and forth?
Yeah, like probably, 10? Probably like 8 to 10, yeah.
That was the scariest thing we've ever done, because it's like you crack the one side, it's not going to rip all the way through. Run around, crack the other side, and you can't get solid leverage underneath, right? We did line up the table with that edge, but it was the most nerve-wracking thing I think I've ever done. And when it finally did let go, and we heard the tile blow,
everyone
something blew up
their stomach.
Yeah. And it's just like the tile dropped, everything blew up, something happened, we didn't know what. And when all the dust settled, we had a nice clean shot across the actual tile piece that we needed, and the other side was broken. It was just the craziest progression. Like, I've never had anything so...
it was a good opportunity for learning, I think.
Yeah.
Now
we get to do it again.
I mean, we have the equipment. I think we mentioned that we didn't pick up the... what would you call it? The lifting system?
Yeah, the handling system.
Yeah, but we have
everything else. We are a lifting system.
Yeah,
have you seen these pipes?
Yeah, well...
We're ready to go,
bro. Shout out
to
Credit Valley.
Going to the gym twice a week.
Twice a week.
While we're doing
at least three.
While we're doing shout-outs, let's shout out Tile Master, because I think they're the ones that supplied us with all the gear to get that job done. Yeah. Right? And I think the tiles, too. So, in terms of like an elaborate ensuite bathroom, I think Dave mentioned that, you know, these large format tiles lended quite a bit to that bathroom, but... The rough-in stage is probably, 60-70% of the work? Like, that's quite the ordeal as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what kind of stuff you're putting in this bathroom.
Well, let's talk about
this
one in particular, because it has all the bells and whistles.
So, this one has a jacuzzi standalone pedestal style tub. And it looks great, but the amount of stuff you got to do to prep for this tub
it's
is insane.
What's
that's what people don't really realize. It's like, well, yeah, I got a tub and it blows bubbles in it and everything's cool, right? Like, yeah, okay, but what about all the stuff that we have to do? We have to set a motor off off to the side. And where are we putting this motor, right? You can put it in your closet. You know, it has to go in a closet or somewhere else. You're not going to have it sitting right next to your tub, right? So as that, there's, you know, conduits and stuff that we have to run. There's power. There's, you know, how heavy is this tub? How much water does it hold?
Are your joists going to be okay for it? We stiffened up the entire floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we
take out the bounce.
We removed the subfloor. You know, typically you would just continue to move along, but we couldn't do that. We had to ensure that the floor, which was actually constructed of 2x8s, which is relatively thin for...
Yeah, there were 2x8s on 12-inch center, which was... It holds, but it's got a bounce to it, right? Yeah, it wasn't ideal, especially for a thin tile, large tiles. That thing's got to be straight. Not so much level, but straight.
Yeah, we couldn't have deflection in the floor. We didn't want to add more weight to the floor. So we didn't want to add another layer of plywood on top of it unnecessarily. So what we did was remove the subfloor entirely. And in the center of the floor, for the large majority of the floor, we installed, we glued and nailed plywood to the sides of each joist, because plywood does not flex in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Which is what like an LVL is made out
the
of.
The technical term for that reason. Is scabbing, just yeah. So everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, so you'll look at a staircase, a load bearing staircase that's, you know, self-supporting. It will be made out of plywood, and then they just laminate it with a finished veneer of whatever wood that you want. It's because it doesn't flex in that way. So we did that. We took the bounce out of the floor. And then on top of that, we put this intense grid pattern in. We really reinforced so that when you step on over top of one floor joist, it would transfer the weight out to the bordering adjacent floor joist. And it's just so overkill, right? Like you can't... It's so difficult because it's something that you would... not pick up on the pricing process, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to get brought in for something like that, you know, you open the floor up. I mean, typically if you're going to look at a bathroom, and this is why I don't like doing singular little projects like that, like just a bathroom on its own. I'd much prefer to have like the entire floor or whatever, because you're taking more things into consideration. If you're looking at the staircase, you know, realizing how thick the floor joists are beforehand, whereas if it's just a small project and you're just doing the bathroom, you're not going to be looking at that type of information, or maybe, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah, not typically our wheelhouse, but
no,
to each his own.
No, yeah. But let's say you go in, you price out a general standard, you know, whatever, $10 a square foot for tile material. You don't know what the client's going to pick in that budget. Mm-hmm. So what if they pick something really thin like we had? Mm-hmm. And then you had to put a standalone tub like that, you know, I think the floor needs to be able to hold 1,500 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, if that tub fills up, it's 1,500 pounds. It's going to push the floor down. Yeah. It adds a lot of weight. Like, I called the engineer, double-checked all that stuff. And after you speak to everybody, it's like, okay, well, we should definitely do something about this floor. Mm-hmm. I wasn't comfortable tiling with a quarter-inch floor regardless. You know, all the grout's going to pop if you don't mm-hmm. make sure that it's nice and stiff and you take the deflection out of it. But it's just these little things that really add up. They add, like, how many days did we lose to just beefing that floor up? Yeah. That was a good 3-4 days.
It's quite a bit. I mean, typically you say, like, the last 20% of a reno takes up 80% of the time. But in this case, it was kind of backwards, right? Like, the roughing is almost taking longer than we anticipate the finishing to take.
And that's something to be said, because the finishing in a project like that, where everything is high end, that tub is a fortune, right? Yeah. You know, all the materials used, everything is premium. And
you only get one kick at that can, right? Yeah. Unless you want to buy someone a new tub or whatever.
Let's talk more about those materials. I mean, I think we talked about the tile and what went into the structural and beefing that up. But and I think going forward, what we'll do is I'll try to be more prudent at taking photos of the process. And then when we're talking, so people can kind of understand what we're referencing, we'll find a way to edit and throw up photos in the mix. You know what I mean? I think that could be cool. But what else is going on in there? Because we laid a Dietrich heated floor, right?
Yep.
We got sconces in there. We got a double vanity with a vanity. What would you got? You
like know, a makeup desk.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And what else?
There's
a lot going on. It's quite the bathroom. And, you know, maybe you can talk about like what something like that typically costs. Cause I think a lot of people are always asking price, right? And
price. And, yeah. I don't like my biggest pet peeve when I'm out and about and people are like, oh no, I want to put a new kitchen in my house or I want to do a bathroom. How much do you think? Well, I don't know, man. What do you want? Yeah. What's your taste? What kind of materials do you want? What kind of stuff do you want here? I mean, it's amazing what you can get technology-wise. I mean, that's what I was really looking forward to the home show, to seeing what else is coming out. But it all depends on what you put in these things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this is like a $75,000 bathroom. And most people...
Yeah, it is.
It's
a lot.
Not many people are willing to spend that kind of money on a bathroom. Yeah. But it's not just, you know, if you do the materials, you're working with solid quality material stuff, right? We have, you know, custom cabinetry coming in. That's you know, a decent chunk. There's easy 10 grand there. Easy, right? You can 10, 15,000 because A, it's the one big vanity. And then there's the other cabinetry behind. So that's probably $10,000 there. That wasn't a part of our contract. But then, you know, the plumbing fixtures alone, $15,000.
Crazy. $6,000 for a tub or whatever it was, right? Like,
yeah.
And then, what's the cost of labor, right? Like, what does a typical bathroom reno look like comparative to something like this? Timeline's a lot different.
Well, right? That's the thing. Like, if you want a bathroom in your basement, you want a 3-piece bathroom, I can slap one of those together for $12,000, $10,000, $8,000, right? Like, it all depends, right? That's the thing. Like, square footage, I mean, this is a very large bathroom, too. This bathroom, this ensuite, is probably bigger than most people's family rooms, right? This thing's huge.
Yeah, it's like a one-bedroom in Toronto.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
It's quite a bit. But,
it's got its own room for the toilet. Like, that's cool. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's going to look when it's done. Yeah, and like I said, we'll be better at... having photos of the process as well as the afters, and we'll find a way to try to reference this vlog in the after photos, because I think they're going to be great.
It's just it's crazy. There's such a big I don't even feel like we're being unnecessary. Like, nothing that has been chosen on that project is like really superfluous, right? It's all nice stuff. It's all quality stuff, but it's not like we're spending phenomenal amounts of money on, you know, gold lace this and things whatever, right? It's all just like good quality stuff across the board. How would we want to build it? That's what's happening. Yeah. That's how it's coming together. And it's just...
Plus, the budget of the renovation reflects the actual house itself as well, right? So you're not going to spend 80 grand on an ensuite in a house that's only worth 800 grand. It does make sense.
Yeah, no. Right? This... You know,
this is an executive area, you know, big house. It deserves that kind of TLC, that kind of thought, that kind of quality put into it.
Yeah, and they'll definitely get it back. But, you know, bathrooms and kitchens are the two places you really go crazy on, right? Mm-hmm. What else can you do? Everywhere else, it's just pretty much blank square footage, yeah,
flooring,
right?
Flooring and paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice trim.
Yeah.
And even the trim, like, we're not going crazy on the trim in this place. It's all MDF. There's no difference between builder trim and the stuff that we're putting in and the cost per material. So,
Labor-wise. Labor-wise,
It's pre-primed. It's MDF.
Mm-hmm.
We paint it twice.
But it looks a lot sexier than what the builder gives.
Yeah, but we paint it once. We install it. We paint it again after we caulk everything and fill the nail holes.
Yeah.
There's no difference in process between that and whatever the builder gives you, except the cost, which the material cost is probably double what the material...
At least.
It's not that much more.
I've seen like...
It's not that
I've
much
seen
more.
Door casing as baseboard before in a builder home.
Yeah, well...
That's embarrassing.
I'm not talking... builders, for the most part, are pretty good nowadays, I would say. Their standard list is...
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be, for sure.
Decent. They've tried to justify their crazy prices. But for the most part, I mean, I think we haven't been ridiculous with a lot of the finishes. It's just we've tried to do a good quality job across the board on this project. And it really does add up. In time, if you're making sure that the process is correct, the process is premium, it, you know, that labor that goes into it makes a really big difference. In the fit and finish, you know, that final product will glow. It will be a big, big difference between, you know, a quick in and out job and what we've invested as far as time into this one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in home renos, I firmly believe, you know, you get what you pay for, you know, and it really shows in kitchens and bathrooms for sure. For sure. So yeah, you know.
Well, but even like painting a room, you know, you can go in and slap the paint on, do like super quick touch-ups and see you later.
Well, I mean.
Or you can stand in between coats and make sure like everything is pristine and perfect. You can spend days painting one room.
Yeah.
Right? We've had three guys painting. What, that family room was done in a day and a half. Yep. Three guys, day and a half. That's absurd. A painting company would never invest that time.
We moved the furniture for the clients, too. We took the family room apart.
Okay, sure. But still, three guys.
At the end of the day, a normal painter wouldn't take apart your family room for you either.
Right? Yeah. No, but that was, three, four guys to pull that room apart is not going to take that long. Right? Maybe an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour to set up. Anyway, the point is, you can always spend more on that finished product, and it will shine through at the end. It's just, is that something that is worth it to you? Is that something that you're willing and able to invest in and feel good about? So, I don't know. I think that's probably a good rant. On,
Do we want to touch on the current lay of the land before we sign off?
Yeah, the, like, what the was the 400-pound elephant in the room?
Or yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. I know these podcasts are a week delayed, but the reality is...
I want to touch on something from the last week's podcast. What I said in the last one may come across as ignorant. I said something about, you know, there's only 80 cases in Ontario. That was then when we recorded it. Now we have 500-plus. In Ontario, and maybe by the time this comes out, there will be more. We do not take this thing lightly. We do take every precaution that we can as a construction company. We sanitize this counter. We wash our hands. We stay to a very tight nucleus. I don't see anybody other than who you see here right now. I go to work.
We have Dawn as well.
We have Dawn, yeah.
But yeah, we were very clear. Very early in this process, we knew what was coming when it was much lower.
It was lower then. Yes, like I said, I don't want to come across as ignorant or stupid or being a jerk about it. I wasn't. It was 80 then. It's 500 now. Our episodes are a week delayed, so don't forget that, right?
Well, it could seem even irresponsible.
Just us being here.
But keep in mind, other than Nick, who is completely suited up right now. He's
respirator. He's got goggles on and that's no joke. Not to mention too, the clients on this particular project,
they're not living in the house.
The property is vacant. So,
and we have their full consent for us to be in the home.
Correct.
So, you know, this is a case by case thing, this COVID-19 thing. And, we are handling our case the way we do. I know we had a pedestrian walk by the house shaking his head at us, like, what are you doing? Working, you know? Well, imagine your house being ripped apart right now and your contractor going, okay, bye. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not going to do that to these people. We would never do that to anybody. Unless you straight up don't want us there, then we won't be there. But this is a case-by-case basis.
We haven't been shut down.
Yeah.
Like our market is not...
Not to mention, there's a lot of unfortunate cases where... Or, I mean, fortunate to the general public, but a lot of small businesses, many of which we're friends with in the hospitality industry, majorly in
that's Oakville. Our office phone going off, by the way.
Which we mentioned before that nobody uses. And like, now
what
it's
time is it? Why are
you
getting a call? Yeah. It's Friday night, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Anyhow, there's a lot of people that are forced to close and unfortunately don't have a means to, you know, to feed themselves or whatever. Maybe more so... you know, in the future, because this is indefinite. And, you know, we chose to operate responsibly and you know, safely, with our clients in mind and the employees in mind.
Even us, so, like, yeah, our parents, like, we all go home to somebody, right? Yeah. I have three little kids at home and a wife, and they literally have not left the house in the past week. It's only me going out. So if they get sick, that's on me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. It's very, it's a sensitive topic and something that we wanted to touch on because, as Jay and Dave mentioned, you know, we don't take this lightly, and we hope this could bring some people some joy and hopefully distract you for, I don't know what our running time is, but 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We'll see after we cut this. And yeah, just maybe take your mind off things. So,
anyway,
that said, I think that's probably it for today, but, I did want to take a minute to, thank you guys obviously for being here and joining me, because otherwise it would just be me talking to nobody,
and then it would be weird.
Who wants to see that? Yeah, there would be zero technical talk if I was here by myself. And so I wanted to also thank Mill Street and Garrett for supplying us with the beer. We appreciate that.
It was delicious.
We'll go have one more off camera at home, of course, and
play some Nintendo, maybe some Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's right. And lastly, please like, subscribe, and comment. We are open to comment, and I think I see the YouTuber's point below. You can comment below and let us know what you want us to talk about. I mean, I think we made this ultimately for you, so please give us some constructive feedback, and we'd be happy to talk on those things. Maybe we'll open it up to our story, and we could take a poll and go from there for the next one.
I think that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that.
That's sure.
But anyhow, see you on the next one.
Stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe. Cheers. Stay safe.